Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio and Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue on this glorious, glorious Sunday. You just can't ask for better weather for this for a holiday, and I'm almost holiday weekend. I'm almost afraid to talk about it too much because I might jinx things. But certainly get out there and enjoy this weather and enjoy these last flings of summer that we have going on. But certainly a gorgeous day in downtown Chicago today. Well, joining me now on the phone is Congressman Randy Hultgren, Republican representative from Plano. And Congressman Hultgren has been at the forefront of efforts in Congress to combat human trafficking. Congressman, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Rick. Good to be with you this morning.
You know, I think as far as when I think of the subject of human trafficking, one, I'm not sure I know what it is. And two, even when you hear about it, you think about it as something going on somewhere else, certainly not in the United States, certainly not in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was the same way. And it's one of these things as you are kind of forced by your own conscience and information to dig into this, you realize it is everywhere. And we are as a hub with O'Hare for air traffic and international travel. Chicago also is a hub for trafficking, both labor trafficking and sex trafficking. And this is it's a huge, huge industry. It's over $150 billion, they estimate, a global business of trafficking in people. All the experts would say there's more human slaves today than there were when Abraham Lincoln was president during the Civil War. So it's shocking, but the reality is it is happening certainly around the world, but it's also happening right in Chicagoland, and we need to be aware. We need to know what's going on, know how to protect those we care about, but also know what we can do to help those who are caught, who are trapped, who are enslaved. And this thought that I have really to start my involvement in this and my everything I'm committed to is if by our work together, if one person, you know, especially in the sex trafficking, if one girl, young girl or young boy could be spared, could be saved, it's all worth it. Anything that we could do to save that one person is all worth it. I went to school up in Minnesota and had just graduated right after Jacob Wetterling. I actually graduated right before he was captured. I don't know if Chicago folks remember this story 27 years ago, 11-year-old boy out riding his bike with his 10-year-old brother and 11-year-old friend, and a masked gunman knocked them off their bikes, got them all on the ground, told two of them to run away, and grabbed 11-year-old Jacob. He was never seen again. Just yesterday, the news broke that his body was found in a field up in Minnesota. But it was so shocking, but tied back the way that they were led back to Jacob was through child pornography, catching a perpetrator, a sick individual who had binders and binders of child pornography. And through that, they got him to confess. Information still coming out, but they led him to Jacob. So anyhow, just this reminder, we think back a couple years ago with the whole Cleveland horrible tragedy of women being chained in a house in an area that you wouldn't have suspected. So it is happening. It's still a concern. We need to be aware. We need to look and see what we can do. And there are good things that are being done.
Well, as you said, it's a business. I mean,
it is.
And I guess, I mean, there are laws on the books, but why aren't they being enforced?
Well, they are, and where they can. These are, again, people, one of my problems with criminals is they don't follow the law very well. So that's kind of the ongoing challenge is these are people who are preying on those who are maybe vulnerable. We've seen it even now with the Internet, where I think it's even more so, where there literally are people out there trolling the Internet looking for someone who is kind of the profile of young person who is maybe feels alienated from their family or looking to run away, looking to get away. And these people will swoop in, start conversations. We see it happening all the time. We also hear about unbelievable tragedies of family members, maybe a mom or a dad or an uncle or brother or something like that, with offenses that are done against young people, but also even getting to the point of prostituting children. It's hard to wrap my mind around it. It's a horrible subject to have to talk about, but we do have to talk about it. There are kids that are going through this right in Chicagoland area, and we need to help. And there are things we can do to help, but it's a long road for recovery. And so my hope is really just to for all of us to be aware, to wake up to what's going on around us, to be very alert of things that just don't look right. You know, we see it so oftentimes, these massage parlors that spring up, you know, the all the shades pulled, but neon light, and it's in shopping malls. It's in almost every county, many communities throughout Chicagoland. These things spring up. You just wonder what's really going on in there. And I my guess is, and what I've heard is, there's illicit things that are oftentimes happening there, and it's oftentimes people who are there against their will. And we need to be aware of this, and also need to be aware of the process that leads someone into the point where they would want to purchase a child or have access to someone either for labor or for sex. And, you know, this isn't something that someone decides overnight, but it's a process. It's oftentimes pornography that gets more and more and more depraved and dark, leading to prostitution. And if you have prostitution, you absolutely will have child prostitution. The average prostitute starts prostituting or being prostituted when they're 12 to 14 years old. That's statutory rape for 4 to 6 to 8 years, depending on you know how young these most oftentimes young girls get pulled into this. So we need to be alert. We need to be aware. We need to look constantly at laws of what can we do to make sure that we're going after the real criminals who are the purchasers, the ones who are trafficking, the pimps. These are the ones that oftentimes get off scot-free, and too oftentimes our laws are going after the prostitutes, which in many cases are really the victims. You know, they had no choice in this when they were 14 years old or 13 years old, and you get pulled into it and see no way of escape.
I know you chaired a briefing on Capitol Hill in March on this subject. What did you learn from that? What was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, I'm part of a group, a caucus, a committee called the Tom Lantos Human Rights Committee. Tom Lantos was a member of Congress from California. He was actually grew up as a Hungarian Jew in Budapest and was saved by a Swedish diplomat who was working with America, a guy named Raoul Wallenberg, who saved, they think, over 100,000 Jews from Budapest by creating false documents to get these Jews out of there before Hitler and the Nazis killed them. But Tom Lantos was able to be one of those who was saved, later became a congressman, and really devoted his time in Congress to fighting for victims, people who are, whether it's human rights or religious freedom abuses or trafficking abuses. Anyhow, he's since passed away, but his legacy continues on the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission. I serve on that commission, and we had a hearing a couple of months ago on human trafficking, and it was specifically on a bill that I introduced, H.R. 611. It's called the Sex Trafficking Demand Reduction Act. And it's, again, recognizing that the demand for sex trafficking doesn't start out with somebody just saying, you know, one day having to go find someone that I can purchase. Instead, it's a process. It usually starts with pornography that gets more and more and more sickening and dark, and younger children that are part of it. Even that's what we're seeing, I think, with the news breaking in Minnesota. But from the hearing, many powerful things that came out of it. We had several people who testified who came out of trafficked situations. And I think the startling reality is a couple things. One, this is continuing to happen here. That prostitution is almost is very often tied to trafficking. Prostitutes very rarely, almost never, would have a choice in what they're doing. They are afraid for their lives. They feel like they have no choice and feel like there's no way of escape because of what their pimps are doing, what family members might be doing. And yet we've got to do everything we can to rescue them. And there is hope out of these. A couple of the people who were on the panel with me are recovering from this abuse that they were brought through themselves. And reality is we just don't have enough in place to care for mostly these young girls that are rescued out of these situations, some young boys as well. But in the Chicagoland area, they estimate between 16 and 25,000 young girls and young women are sex trafficked every single year. 16,000 to 25,000. I mean, that's just, I can't even wrap my mind around that. And yet, when you look at the number of beds that we have in the Chicagoland area, long-term care, recovery, safe beds, they estimate it's about 25. One of the best places that I've heard about is called Ann's House. And they're in the Chicagoland area, a secret location, but it's a place where girls, young women between the age of 12 and 20 can come there, can be brought there to recover, to get care, to get love, to get treatment, to get counseling, to have mentors, to get back on their feet, to get back into school. And just beautiful, beautiful stories of recovery that's happening there. But it's one at a time. It's multiple years because of the deep, deep, deep damage that has been done. Many counselors and psychologists talk about that what they've gone through is very similar to someone who's in war conditions. You know, the flashbacks, the nightmares continue for years and years and years, and they just need love, they need care, they need help, they need tools to be able to cope out of this. So out of that hearing, heard about some good things that are happening, but also the reality that we're not doing nearly enough, that there's so much more that needs to happen.
We're speaking with Congressman Randy Hultgren, Republican from Plano, Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and this is your Sunday Spin. I'm joined on the phone by Randy Hultgren. He's the Republican congressman from Plano, Illinois. We're talking about the issue of human trafficking, and one that, quite frankly, I think, Congressman, you and I both agree, doesn't get that much attention, but is certainly one worthy of great attention. And part of the reason I wanted to have the congressman on is that because on Monday, September 12th at 7:30 p.m. At the Creamy Auditorium at Aurora University, I'll be moderating a panel on this topic. And panelists include James Glasgow, the Will County State's Attorney, Senator Mark Kirk, as well as people who are have the task of trying to treat the victims of this crime. And I know the congressman will also be playing a part in that panel as well. Congressman, you mentioned before the break about this Sex Trafficking Demand Reduction Act. And what actually would that do that current law doesn't do?
Yeah, the biggest thing it does is it's really focused more on the international crisis, and it's recognizing the tie between human trafficking and prostitution. One of the best acts that has ever passed Congress was an act called the Trafficking in Persons Act. It was passed in the early 2000s. What it does is annually does a study and report of nations that we have relationships with around the world to analyze how they're doing to combat trafficking in persons. It's great. It's really effective. There's direct pressure on these countries to act responsibly and to deal with this problem. What has happened in the past was they would just kind of brush it under the rug and ignore it. With the Trafficking in Persons Act, they can no longer do that. And there really is some significant peer pressure among countries to act properly and to deal with this. One of the areas that hasn't been recognized, though, in the Trafficking in Persons Act is how closely tied prostitution is to trafficking. That if you've got prostitution and have governments that kind of do the wink and the nod, either accept it or basically just allow it to happen, if you have prostitution, you're going to have child prostitution. ag guaranteed. And if you're going to have prostitution and child prostitution, you're going to have trafficking of human beings. And we need to make this tie, and we have to have it be part, I believe, part of our Trafficking in Persons Act to look at how our country is doing in combating this. Two examples real quickly. Sweden had a real problem in human trafficking and in prostitution. 10 or 15 years ago, they took a dramatic turnaround to go after, rather than trying to catch and imprison prostitutes, what they're trying to do is bring help to prostitutes, but really go after the purchasers, the pimps, the traffickers, the men who are going out and buying sex, and putting much higher penalties and also higher stigma of letting people know in the community who's doing this so that we can be aware of it and put some pressure, again, for people to know that they can't get away with this, that this is going to be punished. And they've seen a dramatic reduction in Sweden over the last 10 years in prostitution, but also in human trafficking. Flip over to another country that's a good friend of ours, Spain. I like Spain, a lot of things I like about them, but right now their government is basically winking and nodding at prostitution. There's websites out there talking about the largest brothel in all of Europe being in Spain. It's huge numbers, like over, you know, a third of the men in Spain say that in the last year they've purchased sex. I mean, it's just a crazy number. And we see this huge volume of people being trafficked in and out of Spain. And so there's a place where we can, you know, again, I like Spain. I want them to do well, but I also want to hold them accountable when they're not taking something seriously that is hurting people, hurting children. We need to talk about it. And so that's really what my bill would do is recognize that they shouldn't be recognized as basically a tier one fighter of human trafficking if they're allowing and in some ways I would say almost encouraging prostitution to be occurring in their country. So that's what my bill would do. There's many other good things out there that we've done. It's one little step, but you know, a lot of little steps can make a difference for that one person. And I just want to thank you too for hosting and moderating the event on coming up on the 12th of September at Aurora University, 7:30 at night. Going to be a really good, important event. And there are things we can do. You know, we can be more aware of what's going on around us. Be watching for things that just raise questions and be looking for ways to protect people in our neighborhoods. Ultimately, Rick, you know, both you and I are dads. Both of us have daughters. I just am passionate, you know, shaken with the reality that ultimately this is a men's issue. That it's by and large 99.9% of those who are purchasing this are men, and we need to live up to being leaders in our families, leaders in our homes, protectors of our daughters, whether they're actually our daughters or America's daughters or the world's daughters.
They're someone's daughters.
Absolutely, and we need to step up and say this is unacceptable. This isn't a victimless crime. These are real victims that literally are being used up and thrown away, and we can't stand by and let that happen. If someone who's listening, you know, is caught, and I see it as caught in whether it's purchasing sex and purchasing prostitution, or even getting into deeper and deeper, more dangerous pornography, get help. There are good things to break away from this. And again, recognizing that every single one of these things has a victim. There is a real daughter on the other side of this, or a real son on the other side of this, that most likely is there against their will. That's what we're seeing so often. And then come to things like the thing that Aurora University, learn about this, understand what's going on. I'm so proud of a lot of our young people, and I truly believe in our kids' generation, if they were to stick with this and we were to work with them, we could see an end to of human slavery. And what an incredible thing that could be. But it's going to have to happen one person at a time, one commitment at a time.
Two takeaways here. One, if you see something suspicious, you can call the National Trafficking Hotline. That's at 1-888-373-7888. That number again, 1-888-373-7888. Also, for more information on this panel that we'll be having in the Town Square series at Aurora University, you can get more information about this free event at AU Arts and Ideas, all together, auartsandideas.com. Congressman Hultgren, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for doing this. And I encourage people to look up Ann's House with Salvation Army and support that as well. It's a great, great place that's actually making a difference. But thank you for your involvement and being the moderator coming up on the 12th.
Thank you as well. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.